and welcome to Awin Talks, the affiliate and partner marketing podcast. I'm your host, Rob Davidson from Awin's Global Strategy team, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Kevin Edwards, Awin's Global Strategy Director. Hi, Kev.
Hello. How are you doing?
How are you? Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
Good. I'm pleased to say we're also joined today by a special co-host, Lee Metters, for a brand partnership focus episode of the podcast. How are you doing, Lee?
I'm good, thanks, Rob. All good.
Good to have you back on the podcast. It's been a while.
Good to be back. Yeah, it has been a little while.
Also means you don't have to do anything or do very little this month. Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, kind of. I was just going to say that we were joking about the fact that Lee had basically taken the podcast hostage this particular week, because we are dedicating a whole episode of Awin Talks to discussing brand partnerships, which is really Lee's kind of special expertise. And with you taking the reins as chief interviewer today and speaking to a selection of guests, you can tell us more about how they're operating in this particular space. So first up on the podcast today, you're going to be chatting to Edith Batchelor from Boohoo, who have been a really early adopter of this type of tactic and seen a lot of success from using it on their affiliate program. And then a bit later after that, you've got a conversation with two of Awin's strategic partners in the space, Taviso and Propello, both of whom are really providing scalable solutions to help make it incredibly simple for Awin clients to create and host their own bespoke customer reward platforms on their websites. But before we get to those interviews, Lee, I wanted to just ask, for particularly for listeners that are unfamiliar with the term, how would you define what a brand partnership actually is?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think the easiest way to think about it is a brand partnership is a mutually beneficial collaboration where two or more non-competing brands can basically partner and work together to achieve mutual success. And I think what we particularly see with brand partnerships is there's two primary angles that a brand can really take advantage of. The first is where the brand might be promoted by another brand. So in this instance, brand partnerships becomes an acquisitional tool where a brand can reach like-minded customers based on complementary sectors, demographic, or customer values to really extend that acquisition channel, if you like. Mm-hmm. And then the second opportunity, and for me, this is where I think it gets the most interesting, is flipping that on its head and essentially promoting another brand. So in this second instance, a brand partnership provides an opportunity to enhance customer loyalty and lifetime value whilst also creating a commercial opportunity to monetize your existing customer base.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lee, just picking up on the fact that obviously, you know, we're talking about this and this particular episode, and we know obviously you're working really intensely on a number of different brand-to-brand partnerships. But, you know, look, scrolling back over the years, I mean, this isn't actually really anything new. I remember back in the day, Travelodge entering into a partnership with Ticketmaster, because obviously people going to concerts might want to stay overnight. And it was just like a really good fit for those two, as you say, non-competing brands. But so why is it that all of a sudden, or not necessarily all of a sudden, but why is it that in particular over the last year to 18 months that this has really sort of started to hit home and really start to resonate with brands, do you think?
Good question. Yeah, I definitely can't take credit for this not being a new opportunity. But
I was like, is that what you were going to do?
Yeah, Kevin was being very quick there to just pour cold water all over us.
I think, though, I'll be honest, I think there's probably a couple of reasons behind this. I think, firstly, the pandemic undoubtedly changed the way that customers shop and behave online. And it probably has done so now forever. And I think if we think back to the beginning of the pandemic, we made it easier for customers to shop online and discover new brands. And then with that, customer loyalty was probably challenged like it never has been before. So again, by providing your customer with a complimentary reward, a discount, or a free gift from another retailer can really help to instill that customer loyalty point. And I think as well, if you stick with the pandemic, we've then seen a rise in digital acquisition costs. Again, I think if you think about acquiring a new customer, particularly across something like paid search or paid social, the cost for doing so has really increased. Brands have probably quickly realized that actually you can generate a really profitable return by targeting a niche cohort of customers based on those complementary values. So I think their acts is a really nice and interesting acquisitional channel. And then I think in terms of it sitting within the performance industry, I think the performance industry is perfectly positioned to help scale brand partnerships. The key behind any brand-to-brand partnership that we run is the tracking and measurement. And our industry is obviously built on that foundation of integral tracking and reward. And I think that just enables the performance industry to perfectly complement brand-to-brand partner campaigns.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting the way that this has developed. Like, particularly, like you say, Kev, it's like existed for a while, but there's been such huge demand and interest in it. You go to like PR Live a couple of weeks ago, I think there were at least a couple of sessions that referenced it and talked about it. There does seem to be a real interest across the board in different sizes of business that are participating in this type of opportunity as well. And I do wonder as well, like, over the last few years, we've seen, as you say, digital acquisition costs have really kind of like spiked a lot. And there's been a huge concentration of ad spend around, you know, 3-4 of the biggest digital ad platforms around the world. And I think that that desire to try and diversify has led to new innovative ad products being, or ad platforms being created, advertising models. So you think about retail media networks that have kind of like grown up as well a lot at the moment. And you have these multi-category retailers like Walmart or Tesco, for instance, starting to offer ad inventory on their own websites as a means of monetizing the traffic that they inevitably see on their site. I think that's really interesting. And brand partnerships is almost a kind of strand of that to a degree, where you have maybe not multi-category retailers, but more individually focused, quite maybe more niche, single product retailers that are opening up these opportunities to work and collaborate with complementary brands, as you kind of described at the start, Lee, so that they can either monetize it on one side or reach new customers on the other side in this really mutually beneficial way that is just really embodies, I think, a lot of what the affiliate and partner marketing channel is about, which is really interesting.
Definitely.
Like for me, the one of the really interesting aspects of it is that, as we know historically we're a last click CPA channel, but we know that over the years that we've kind of looked at lots of different alternatives to that and blended CPAs and stuff like that. And I think that where brand to brand for me is quite interesting when you're talking to brands, not that I, you're the expert, and it's not that I've done a lot of this stuff, but what their kind of, their goal is based, revenue versus loyalty, in that if you offer great reciprocal deals to your consumers, to your customers, that inherently hopefully builds loyalty for them. So it's less about the revenue they're generating, more about the fact that it's a good way of them being able to acquire new customers. And then they then embark on hopefully retaining them as loyal customers.
I think that's the way we always try to position it as well. Like any new brand we speak to, it's very much about how you enhance your customer's experience at the point of order confirmation. How do you intensify that customer's experience with you to keep them coming back, to retain them and to make them more loyal? Some brands definitely do view it as a commercial opportunity and will charge tenancy fees or higher CPAs around peak periods to drive inbound revenue, which they then do reinvest back into their performance marketing channel as well, which I think is a nice spin. I think everything should always be underpinned by the value that you provide to the customer.
So you're heavily involved in this on the Awin side, obviously, Lee. So how is Awin supporting advertisers and actually implementing these brand partnership opportunities within their affiliate programs?
Again, there's probably quite a lot we're doing in this space. So if a brand just wants to be promoted by another retailer, then we have our brand partner filter within the Awin publisher directory. So any brand should be able to access this through the Awin UI in the publisher directory. They can filter by brand partners. That then obviously just pulls back brands that you might want to partner with within the Awin interface that you can then reach out to as you would like any normal traditional affiliate. But in terms of how we're then supporting brands, I guess, to go further along this brand partnership journey and turn their own ad space into inventory placements, I think there are probably three key ways. The tracking and measurement side that I touched on previously, but through Awin, we can track and report a campaign in real time. And I think that's a real key differentiator to running a direct partnership. If you think of a direct partnership where you're almost taking two completely different data sources and then try to stitch them together to make a judgment on how that campaign performed, through performance tracking, it's all in real time and we can optimize in campaign. Obviously, our tracking technology then also helps a brand to potentially earn inbound revenue as well. The second point, and I think, again, another key one is around partner discovery. So we utilize our existing relationships globally to help facilitate brand-to-brand partner introductions. So any brand wanting to partake in Awin brand partnerships, we ask them to opt in. Reason being that we then have a directory that we've amassed now in the past 2 years with a number of brands who are actively looking for reciprocated partnerships. And I think that makes it easier to facilitate an introduction. And then thirdly, I guess we also support with billing. So if you're running brand partnership campaigns directly, the the tracking and the measurement parts and the partner discovery parts can be quite cumbersome. But equally, I guess, if you're monetizing a campaign, you're having to set up direct pays or getting your credit control teams to chase up that bad debt. Obviously, doing it through Awin, we can simplify all of that and we automate it as well. So there's probably three core areas. I would say tracking and measurement and partner discovery are probably the biggest. But if you're wanting to commercialize your brand partnerships as well, then obviously we can support with that billing side of things as well.
And if there's any brands that are listening that are really interested in experimenting with this particular ad model, maybe they've not tried it before, what kind of advice would you give to them?
I think my first bit of advice would be to go and download our Ultimate Guide to Brand Partnerships, which is free through the Awin site. So we've recently just launched that. The guide's perfect for all brands, big or small, whether you're engaged in brand partnerships already, whether you're completely new to it. The guide pretty much covers everything. It touched on what I've already said today around what brand partnerships are and why they're so important in the post-pandemic marketing landscape. But then it also shines a light on some of our most successful campaigns as well, and calls out the likes of MyProtein and Simply Cook, Taste Card, Wolverhampton Wanderers, Money Supermarket. So it really brings to life what brand partnerships are and how it can support. And then I think my other bit of advice would be to basically just engage relevant stakeholder teams. Affiliate and partnership managers are fantastic at understanding the benefits of brand partnerships and the benefits of tracking. But I think to really capitalize and create a successful brand-to-brand partner collaboration, you need an omni-channel approach. So engage social teams, engage CRM teams, engage on-site operational teams to really look at how you make this work. And yeah, just don't be afraid of engaging those teams and bringing them in and making a really collaborative effort of it.
Great. Well, we'll hear from one of those brands that really pioneered this, I think, at least with Awin more recently, in today's interviews, which we'll jump into now. So a bit later, Lee talks to Mark Camp from Propello and Adrian Vella from Taviso, two of the customer reward solutions that Awin now has strategic partnerships with. But right now, here's his conversation with Edith Batchelor at Boohoo.
Hi, Edith. Thanks so much for joining us on the Awin Talks podcast. I guess let's start with a little bit of information about yourself and the Boohoo brand.
Cool. So I've been in the affiliate industry for about 12 years now, which has gone really fast. Started off, you know, real traditional affiliate manager or kind of affiliate assistant probably at the time, and worked my way through different retailers. I've been at a network, kind of done a few different things in the industry. Now I'm at Boohoo. We run affiliate marketing programs across the globe from Manchester in the UK. And we also run a number of different types of partnership as well within the channel. So we kind of class it as like network partnerships and off-network partnership. So it's anything and everything. We have things like gift cards that sit in our team, refer a friend, e-commerce tools, things that sit on the order confirmation page, and more recently, brand-to-brand partnerships.
Yeah. So I guess perfect segue. So talk us through brand partnerships at Boohoo. I guess as a global retailer, what are your primary objectives? What are you looking to get out of a brand partnership? And then I guess, like, what are the main opportunities that you can leverage as a brand as well by utilising brand partnerships as part of that strategy?
So there's loads. It unlocks quite a lot, really. So I think this year specifically, we've really been focusing a lot on things like membership and loyalty and creating more of a community feel in our other areas of our marketing, not just on social. We've got a really good community on social. So for Boohoo, we have like 13 million followers on Instagram. We've really built that out. But, you know, be able to create a membership feel and a community on our other channels like email, on-site, app, etc. has been really important this year. You know, the cost of marketing is growing and growing. So the more you can retain and reward customers, you know, the better, really. You know, it's really competitive out there. So another element of that is being able to diversify our message. We've run discounts for years and years and years. Some of our competitors or other retailers are a bit newer to discounting, but it's always been our bread and butter at Boohoo. There's only so much you can say, have 10% off, have 20% off, and the customer can get bored. We've also wanted to leverage brand partnerships to be able to unlock other kinds of offers that they get as a perk of being a Boohoo member or a Boohoo customer. And then another part of it as well is being able to amplify our brand pillars. So we have some really clear brand pillars at Boohoo this year. So it's things like mental health, sustainability, yeah. empowerment. There's only so much we can do to talk about those topics in our own area. So we've really partnered with experts, and that can also include other brands to help, you know, really amplify and give a bit of weight to that message.
Yeah.
And sometimes I hold our hands up when we say, you know, we're not the leader in this space, but we've partnered with someone who is, and we're here to give you a bit of a benefit for kind of coming on this journey with us.
Yeah.
So that's been another real good part of it. And then I suppose the commercial part of it is sort of flipping the affiliate model. So becoming the affiliate and promoting other retailers. And that's been a real learning curve for us. And that's been what's been nice for me as well, being having been in the industry for over a decade, that now kind of I've done network, I've done client side, but I've never been an affiliate until yeah. now, and kind of learning about media space and how we kind of, what media space works and what messages work and how we promote other brands
yeah.
has been a real nice learning curve as well.
So I guess there's 3 points there. There's the commercial aspect, almost like the customer value point, but then I guess like looking at that customer loyalty piece as well and like creating that member community. So have you seen much, I guess, in terms of like an uptick in customer retention or lifetime value as a result of running the various partnerships across your marketing channels?
It's quite hard to measure, but we can certainly see positive sentiment. So we measure things yeah. like on social, where people are talking about things or sharing things. We want to get to a point where we sort of have a bit of a space to house some offers. And I think that will be a lot more measurable, where we can say people have entered this loyalty space, or they've, you know, they've viewed these products, or this is the kind of offer they engage with. But it's certainly been really interesting to see which kind of offers you think will do well, and then which ones actually do perform yeah. better, and what you kind of, a lot of the time as a brand, you, although we have a customer research team, a lot of people make assumptions. Well, the customer wants this, they want yeah. this. And then you give them an offer that you think they'll like, and a brand that you think they'll like, and they actually prefer a different one.
Yeah.
So we're still really learning in terms of what they like and what they don't, and being able to even just tweak messaging, like what affects email open rates, how do we present a brand? Because for us as well, we want to make sure it doesn't come across as salesy.
Yeah,
it has
course,
to
yeah.
feel like a real benefit to the user. So we're continuing on that journey about how we really measure how loyal they are as customers. But it's yeah. certainly, you know, we need to be able to leverage partnerships like this and not just use our own product margin to constantly give the members stronger discounts, because, you know, there's only so deep you can go with that.
You mentioned just now about obviously how we've worked closely together on various different partnerships throughout the year, but aligning them back to almost like those strategic pillars that you have and fitting with brands in between them. So I think the one that really sticks out to me is the campaign that you did with Wild, where there was various different types of promotion, but obviously that included a promotion on your order confirmation page. So in terms of like how Awin have been able to support you, how have we helped with like upscaling your partnership activity versus what you were kind of doing pre-ish?
Definitely. Yeah. I'm not just saying this because I'm on an Awin podcast, yeah. but it's been invaluable, because I think anyone who's in this kind of field, even if you're just starting out your affiliate program, you know, or if you're in any kind of sales, because it really is an outreach to say, do you want to work with us? And you kind of wait for what comes back. That anyone knows who does that, that the biggest legwork is that outreach piece.
Yeah.
It's finding the right contacts. It's engaging with them in what you're trying to do. And being able to work with Awin has really helped to just get that ball rolling, because you guys already have the contacts who are commercial, who are essentially running the affiliate program. So they know the model, they know about promotional sharing and about media placements and yeah. tenancy and that kind of thing. So that kind of conversation's already been done. You know, the proposal of what brand partnerships is, you know, Awin, you guys have been able to kind of put that message out there. And then it's been a case of, you know, we've said these are our strategic pillars, and you said, well, I think these guys would align really well, and they're also really engaged, and you've got the knowledge about the people we'd be dealing with as well, which is also really important for us, that we yeah. work with people that work well with us as well. You know, and we've toyed with the idea of, you know, do we need to get an agency in place to do this? And, you know, at the start of this year, we didn't really know which way it was going to go, but mm-hmm. as it stands, we've really just been able to use Awin just to link us up with the right retailers to just get those conversations flowing. It's just helped move that process along, really, and get to just the chats about running a campaign
yeah.
much quicker. And then we've been able to get campaigns up and running pretty quickly
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess we've spoken a lot here about you almost being the primary promoter and promoting other brands, but you've also done a lot on like the acquisitional side as well. I think one that stands out is you worked with Tastecard quite closely this year, and they've obviously promoted you through their member pack. So I guess how's brand partnerships helped you from almost like that acquisitional standpoint as well?
Yeah, I think it's funny because that's always been our primary goal yeah. in the affiliate channel, but it's kind of now more of like a secondary benefit. So again, we're still trying to work out of like, how does that work? You know, do we promote each other at the same time? Do yep. we stagger it? So we want to do more and more of that kind of thing. And I think where that's really pertinent is travel, because actually I think travel, it makes more sense to the travel partner promotes a fashion partner, because they've got the knowledge of, you know, when someone's traveling and where they're traveling and what age they might be, and you can really target them with the offers in the right way. So I think that's probably the one that stands out, where the reciprocal technical side of it actually presents not necessarily a bigger opportunity, but, you know, more of the thinking of it the other way around, like them promoting us first and then we give them some exchange on the back of it, whether that be like a competition or whatever it might be. But yeah, it's figuring out and how that works. But I think the thing that's worked really well for us is that this activity is sitting within the same channel. So the members in my team who look after these brand-to-brand partnerships and us being the affiliate of the brand also look after our affiliate programs where we can then get the promotion from them. So it can be quite seamless in that sense, which has been good.
And I guess thinking about then a brand that Boohoo might partner with, what do you look for in terms of your ideal partner? And I guess, again, this comes back to those strategic pillars, but if a brand's listening today that potentially wants to partner with Boohoo, what do you look for?
It's like a dating show, isn't it?
It does feel like a dating show.
What am I looking for in a partner? So I think it's the brand pillars I mentioned are really important. So I think a brand that has a really strong message and wants to promote things like well-being to their customers. So we're thinking about themes that we can run. So, you know, rather than just thinking, do we want to do stuff for Valentine's or, you know, there's certain seasonal events. We're like, well, how does that make people feel? And how do we partner with someone who helps to elevate that? So those pillars I mentioned, things like empowerment, mental health, they're really, really important to us. So anyone who has a really strong message in that space is really important. I think someone who's willing to test as well. You know, we are very open about saying that this is a new area for us.
Yeah.
We've been doing it since the start of this year, whereas we've been doing affiliate marketing for kind of 15 years. Yeah. So, you know, we're learning. We don't have all of the answers yet. We're trialing new placements. We want to learn from partners as well to develop our platform to be able to facilitate brand partnerships in an even better way. So we need partners to help kind of come on that journey with us, and partners that are excited about the opportunity, because like everyone is looking for cost-effective marketing channels at the moment. And, you know, to be able to say, you know, you could go on a social media platform that has 13 million followers. You could work with the Boohoo brand that has, you know, millions of unique visitors. It's we've got a strong platform and we're built as an e-commerce business. So, you know, we have so many different areas and we can target things. Our site's really dynamic as well. So, I think partners that are just open to testing that can see the opportunity. And just, you know, for us, the heart of it is relationships. You know, that's how we build everything with our affiliate and partnership channels. It's having good relationships with people. We love getting on a call, just explaining, you know, our brand pillars, learning about theirs, trying to find synergy, linking up with wider marketing teams as well, if possible. We did an event with Fit a few months ago where they came into our on-site gym and we ran a fitness class. We invited influencers, brands that are up for that kind of thing as well, to use the expertise in for an offline event that we can use content then to push the offer online as well. So people are just up for exploring it with us is always a benefit as well.
I think the thing that really strikes me about Boohoo brand partnerships as well is you're a huge global retailer. You've got 30 million Instagram followers, like you said, but you've not been picky in terms of like the brand size. You've worked with some really nice SME brands that have elevated that messaging. Like we mentioned Fit, we mentioned Wild. And I think that's really key as well, that you've almost been happy to partner with brands of smaller size.
It's different horses, different courses. I think, you know, sometimes we'll want to run a big campaign that's a big brand name and really offer a huge benefit to our users. Sometimes it's about partnering with someone who's really big in their space to help elevate that brand message and, again, build that community feel with our customers. We're absolutely not picky about who we work with, as long as it's a right fit for the campaign we're trying to do at the time.
Okay, so as someone then that has been doing brand partnerships for the best part of this year, if a brand's listening today that's potentially interested in setting up brand partnerships, what would be your one bit of advice that you've, I guess, acquired in this last 12 months?
I probably have a few, but I would say, like, take a step back, like, learn. Like, the first few months that we were looking at this, so I started looking at this in January and we didn't put our first brand partnership live until April.
Yeah.
And it was really about spending that time just to learn, to speak to partners like Awin, to understand, well, what are the opportunities, like where should we look to monetize our space? And then there's a lot of internal buy-in as well that needs to happen. So I did a lot of presentations and talks with people like the CRM team, the social team, the e-commerce team, just to explain the benefit of what we're trying to achieve and how their support can help, because you're going to have to start leaning on those teams. So what I was really conscious not to do is just to say, you need to put this partner in this email, and they don't understand, well, why, what's the value, I've got so much on my plate, you know, where's this come from? So spent a lot of time explaining the approach, the strategy, why we were doing it, get buy-in from those channels so that they're supportive when there is a campaign we want to turn around quite quickly and there's a slot we want to put it in, that they understand why and they're supportive of that. Same with senior leaders that you might need buy-in for. But I think, you know, explaining to them that it's end goal and the stats behind it and what it could do, you know, what it could achieve, but then sharing case studies about, you know, that, you know, this is what partners can do, this is where we're at, this is where we need to maybe develop our platform.
Yeah.
So helping to get that buy-in as well. I'd say another piece of advice, got a lot as you can, been lots of learning this year, is pace yourself, because like any kind of sales, I think a lot of us have done like a rubbish sales job, you know, we first came out of uni. But if you've ever done something like that, it's leaning into that memory of, you know, you've got to manage your pipeline, because
yeah,
you know, you can get really excited and say, right, let's email 20 brands, and yeah, you never know, they might all come back and want a call, and then yeah, you're like, God, I've got to go through all these calls, I've got to follow them up. So I've definitely made that mistake where I've like, right, we need to build the pipeline, we're kind of ready to hit the ground running here, and then the pipeline gets quite full, and then you've got calls back to back, and then yeah, you're not necessarily giving the best impression then to the brands you speak yeah, exactly, to. You want to take yeah, the time to understand their brand, explain your brand, explain the opportunity. So sort of measure yourself and manage your pipeline, but you kind of, you know, get your pipeline booked in at least a few weeks to months in advance of
yeah,
things yeah, coming up, and then you've got a bit of time to have the conversations about the yeah, next campaign. The so we're looking yeah, at campaigns now for January onwards, so we're still, you know, operating quite quick, but you know, we're allowing ourselves a bit of leeway to have the conversations and plan the campaigns in as well.
Yeah, I think the one key thing you mentioned there was almost like bringing those other stakeholder teams in. That's definitely where we've seen the most success, where we've been able to engage with kind of CRM teams, social teams, and look at this more holistically.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, then I guess lastly, what's next for Boohoo? What does brand partnerships look like into 2023 and beyond?
Continue to grow. So I think the way I'm thinking of it is we want to go from infancy to maturity in this area. So, you know, anyone will know who deals with our affiliate programming, like we like to be the best of the best, we like to always embrace the best technology, we always put in for PMAs, we sometimes
yeah,
win them
yeah,
you know, we want to have the same approach for brand partnerships, and we're new, we've learned quite a lot this year, but you know, we know there's a long way to go. So you know, we want to enable our site and our platforms to be able to offer brand partnerships in the best way, in the most seamless way for the customer, to drive that loyalty and that benefit. We want to be able to really, you know, report on it and, you know, provide really nice reports for the partners as well, you know, using Awin data and yeah, be able to provide them more insight as well in terms of email open rate and things. All these things we can do, but, you know, until you've got a really mature setup for it reporting-wise, it can be a little bit clunky in the background. So yeah, we want to carry on with that. And yeah, we just want to build our pipeline out for next year, but look at some of these bigger brand partnerships, you know, plan ahead a bit further in advance with some partners. You know, what do we want to do going into summer, and do we yeah, want to do some really big partnerships with things like travel? That's yeah, where we can massively do some offline yeah, pieces and really have a full marketing campaign. But the essence of it is that it's a kind of commercial brand partnership that underpins it, you know, really reciprocal across all channels. And we're really open to that. It's just finding the right partner to who wants to do that with us.
Yeah. Okay. Then I guess if a brand's listening, it really wants to get in touch, where should they find you?
They can find me on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Edith Batchelor, or they can contact your team,
yeah,
UK Brand Partnerships at Awin. Find us, drop us a note. And yeah, we'd be happy to set up a call and have a chat. Allow a bit of time. We like to have a chit chat before we get down to business. Let's yeah, have like a 45 minute chat yeah, and just yeah, talk through what we need to do to work together.
All right. Well, best of luck for next year.
Thank you
so much for joining us.
No problem.
And yeah, we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, cool.
Hi both, thanks so much for joining us on this special edition of the Awin Talks podcast. Today we'll be talking all things brand partnerships. So to kick things off, can you tell us a little bit about yourselves as well as Propello and Taviso? So I guess Mark, should we start with you?
Sure, yeah. So I'm Mark, I'm CEO and founder of Propello Cloud. We founded back in 2019. At the time I was co-director in a fairly large integrated marketing agency, and we were developed really as an MVP to solve a specific client need. And then through the course of speaking to various different brand partners to bring on as reward partners, we picked up new clients, and I suppose you could say that the rest is history.
My name's Adrian, I'm co-founder of Taviso. I started my career at Yahoo, working there for 6 years before hitting the startup trail and eventually co-founding Taviso with some other Yahoos. I've been working digital for about 10 years now. Similar story to Mark, we kind of spotted that little kind of niche where suddenly lots of brands wanted to work together but weren't too sure how to do so. So Taviso is a brand partnerships platform, completely self-serve. We work over 150 brands to kind of work with clients, both post-checkout and with rewards portals. We're keen to help all businesses to work together, irrespective of their size. So we created products for everything from kind of the Awin Access kind of side of clients all the way through to the Samsungs of the world.
Let's jump straight in. Customer behavior has changed so much in the last two or three years. First, I guess, with the pandemic, more recently with the cost of living crisis. So why do you think that customer loyalty is such an important consideration for brands? Adrian, should we start with you?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's a pretty well-known statistic that it's about five times more expensive to acquire a new customer than to keep an existing one. Sort of time when there's lots of uncertainty in the air, why would you not squeeze what you've got when it's more efficient? Of course, new customer acquisition is also important, but if you can stem a flow of a leaky bucket, then if you can slow down the filling it slightly, it's less of an issue, right? So I think a few small brands are doing enough to aid loyalty, but there's a lot of brands who I think if they looked themselves in the mirror, would probably say they could be doing more. I think an email retention flow is a great start, but that combined with a random offer from time to time doesn't quite capture the attention that it previously did, and it kind of dilutes some of the value of your business. If I had a choice of getting back a customer for free and getting them to pay full price rather than giving them a discount on my own goods, I think I know what I'd pick.
You stole my stat. first of all, I think it's fair to say that value has never been under more scrutiny. We've gone through the COVID years and now we've got the cost of living crisis years. So any brand that isn't considering their wider value prop, either the internal rewards and benefits that they're giving to customers or the ancillary brand partnerships and different benefits that you can bolt out of a program such as this, they're missing a huge trick. And for every brand that isn't considering that, 10 of their competitors will. You mentioned the five times, anywhere from 5 to 25 times was my stat. But then, you've got to look at the cost of acquisition, cost of customer acquisition, lifetime value. Your most engaged customers really, tend to spend significantly more than a new customer. And they're also huge brand advocates as well. So, referrals should be part of any loyalty initiative. So, as you said, all of that has a massive compound effect really on revenue, to the point where small impacts on both acquisition and retention can have anywhere from 2 to 3 times impacts on profitability. So, it's pretty essential, certainly in this climate.
Agree. So, Mark, sticking with that then, given it is so essential, do you think brands are currently doing enough to incentivize customer loyalty?
Got two responses to that. So, first of all, I think there are too many brands missing a trick with ignoring brand-to-brand partnerships and ignoring coalition marketing. That's a huge one. I think, secondly, there are far too many loyalty initiatives out there that are just too convoluted. So, hard for a customer to understand, or perhaps they're just issuing points or whatever the case may be, without really considering the wider effect on loyalty. So, the message there is what are they looking to achieve rather than just having some form of loyalty initiative that feels like we're ticking a box. It's got to be considered at a strategic level and therefore implemented to achieve those outcomes.
Yeah, I 100% agree with Mark here. I think the only thing I'd add on top is, I think maybe for the only problem I've typically seen traditionally is that, some people might have a rewards scheme, be it points, be it a kind of brand partnerships initiative or something similar. Where I've seen kind of clients perhaps go wrong is that they've built this thing and then they've just kind of left it in the background where no one can find it. I think the key as well is to get the most value out of this of, how do I promote these brand partnerships? Can I use my social media? Can I use my CRM? If you let it fall at the back, it's no use to you. How you kind of collaborate with other parts of your business and build on that, not just in the pure rewards portal itself, rewards scheme, is equally critical.
Just to add to that, if I may, one component where we see clients a little bit hesitant sometimes to promote brand partnerships is they feel that it takes the sort of shine, if you will, away from their brand. But relevance is key there, isn't it? Making sure that whatever brand that you're partnering with adds complementary value, adds kudos to your brand and relevance, and if you do that, that there's no fear well, there shouldn't be any fear, rather, in promoting those coalitions.
Oh, exactly. Like, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, how do you provide value to your customers in a way that other brands can't? You know, if you can provide that value, then, you know, absolutely. I think brand partnerships obviously has a number of different ways that, you know, we no doubt will kind of typically talk about the performance in terms of the retention or kind of like the acquisition elements. But from a branding perspective, you know, amazing. You know, you could, if you're a small brand, you can kind of somewhat associate yourself with a big brand. If you're a big brand, you know, you can associate with a small brand and show, you know, I'm agnostic as to who I work with. It's you, the shopper, that I really care about.
That's what it all needs to come down to, isn't it? And I think that leads me on quite nicely, actually. So if I'm a brand and I'm listening today, what does best in class, in your opinion, look like in terms of a customer retention, customer loyalty program? Adrian, should we start with you?
Good question. I mean, this might be the fact that we're coming close to lunchtime and my stomach is beginning to rumble. But for me, I'm going to say McDonald's Monopoly is probably one of the best examples I've ever seen of lifetime value. I mean, obviously, maybe our users can't see everyone smiling and rubbing their tummies right now. But like, you know, it's so synonymous. And I think it works for several reasons. You know, everyone knows what Monopoly is. Everyone knows what McDonald's is. You have a very clear vision in your mind where it's going to be. There's a gamification element which kind of keeps pulling in people to keep returning. And, you know, the random prizes, what am I going to get, creates that excitement and intrigue. I think where McDonald's do really well in this, and obviously they're a big corporation with a lot of money, so it's slightly easier than some to do it, is that, you know, they do different prizes for every market. So they're creating this kind of thing where we can create custom, I guess, partnerships for wherever you are, whoever you are, we've got something for you that we can tailor for you. And I think that's an amazing thing that pulls all of that together.
What's the best prize on McDonald's Monopoly? Is it the new mini or is it the free cheeseburger?
Oh, ask me in an hour.
Fries, I should say.
Mark, what about you? What does best in class look like?
I've got a few. Tesco Club Card for me, particularly with the coalition partners, you know, that the collect your 100 points, spend it back at Tesco, or get 2-3 times value with some of those brand partnerships, such as Pizza Ex. Fantastic, absolutely fantastic there. Prime, obviously, is a fantastic loyalty initiative. I think it's well documented that Prime members spend 2.5 times more than non-Prime members. So, you know, hugely, hugely successful there. And then back to the old school, the original O2 program, which is really one of the first proper brand partnerships, reward programs. And I think they must have had some issues yesterday with O2 priority, because my social media feed just filled up with people complaining that they couldn't access it. So it's still working to this day. So yeah, for me, those are great examples.
It was like the Orange Wednesday cinema tickets as well, right? Back in the day.
Yeah. Telco were the first, really, with those types of initiatives. Yeah. Fantastically popular.
All right, so Mark, we'll stick with you. So from your experience, what makes for a really successful customer reward program?
Probably mentioned some of this before. Relevance is key. So, you know, does it resonate with that customer? You know, is there a reason for them to engage with it? Does it feel a value? So, you know, is it worth the effort to engage with it? And then also, you know, what's the sort of duration in terms of time to reward? Because that's key as well, isn't it? You know, we're in the business of incentivizing consumer behavior. So, you know, we're all human and human psychology is fairly basic, that we need that reward pretty quickly in order to continue that cycle. So, yeah, those are the key components for me. And I suppose the final one, obviously, is user experience and how engaging the tech is, really.
Yeah, I think, you know, Mark's pretty much said everything I would have said down to a T. So I think maybe what I'll look on then is kind of with those points, then how do you kind of roll it out further, right? So, I mean, obviously, having all those elements is great. But then, you know, if you're doing one-to-one partnerships, like with another brand just once, it takes a lot of time. Like, it's quite cumbersome, right? Whereas, you know, with a technology provider, be it Tavizo, be it Propello, you know, we kind of enable that way to kind of do scale, which I think is kind of like the key thing where rewards now needs to go. I think, you know, at the same time, if you have that collaboration piece and you can kind of drive performance, which is at the end of the day what all brands are looking for, then what Mark said combined with that is kind of like the ultimate masterclass.
Yeah, agree. I think the only thing I would add as well is it has to become such an ingrained part of your marketing mix. It's all good and well having this reward program that will incentivize loyalty and retention, but you have to direct traffic to it.
100%. Like the amount of traffic, sorry to interrupt, that we see when a kind of client does like an email push or a social push, you know, is particularly in the early days of running a rewards portal, is so, so important. I think, you know, to Mark's example, when you know O2 Priority, it's been around for decades. Everyone knows who it is. Like, great, no problem. The traffic will come to you. I think in those early days when you're really beginning that point, then yeah, it's all about directing traffic there, directing people there, creating that awareness around it and using all of the internal marketing channels that you have to basically push people to it.
It's got to evolve as well. That's the other key, isn't it? You know, we're, again, you know, as humans, if things don't change and evolve, people get fairly bored. So, you know, continuing to think about elements of gamification or new partners or, you know, things that a customer can unlock, just keep them coming back. And you know, again, you know, O2 have been pioneers of that very early on, but I think Vodafone have pretty much caught up these days.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to throw you a bit of a tricky one now. So in just three words, what are the benefits for running a reward program via the affiliate channel? Adrian, I'll start with you.
I might be about to repeat myself slightly, but I think kind of my three words would be scale, collaboration and performance. I think kind of affiliate really is the perfect medium for loyalty programs. You know, on Awin alone, there's 3,000 brands that can be activated quickly. The fact that loyalty programs can be absorbed into an existing affiliate strategy then means it has ownership. I think the only thing that I've kind of typically seen in market so far is that not everyone knows exactly where partnerships sit, and it kind of typically falls into affiliate because affiliate in itself is partnerships. So I think it's a really natural place for it to fit. I'll be interested to kind of see in the future, like, does it stay solely in affiliate? Yes, I think from a kind of tracking and performance perspective, but what other stakeholders in businesses kind of get involved as well?
That was more than three words. Over to me.
Yeah, go for it.
Similar areas of benefit. If I was just to say three words, efficiencies, revenue and insights. I can qualify that if you like, or I can just leave it at those three.
No, please. Yeah, please do.
Efficiencies, you know, as Adrian said there, it's very hard without the power of the affiliate networks and the affiliate channel to reach those brands. You know, it's not an easy thing to strike up those conversations without this ecosystem. So to have the ability to build out really strong coalition and partnerships at scale and at speed is of huge benefit. The revenue side cannot be ignored, whether that's cost per acquisition base, whether that's tenancy base, whether that's brand, whether that's barter exchange, or looking at the expanding lifetime value or retention acquisition, you know, these numbers really, really stack up with large audiences. And then equally the insights. So brands have a great understanding of how their customers interact with their own product, but have very little understanding around them demographically and how they interact with other categories and other brands. And you know, that's one of the things that we've been doing with HelloFresh over time is taking what was traditionally an insert-based partnership program and building a huge range of insights around what their customers really engage with. So yeah, those are the three for me.
Okay, I think we've probably covered this in a couple of other places, but I'm going to ask it quite directly. So if you were offering one bit of advice to a brand, you both work with multiple different brands in this space and have helped brands build customer reward programs. What's a common mistake that brands actually make when they're looking to incentivize customer loyalty through a reward program?
Mark, do you want me to go first?
Or yeah,
Mark,
go on, Adrian, you go.
I will say one word this time. Right, you just need to let people know that this exists. If it's hidden, it will not do what you want it to do. Very plain and simple, I think.
I think before promotion, and I've said this word a few times, relevance has got to be key, hasn't it? Just to pair up brands that are relevant to your audience that are going to complement, you know, your own offering. And again, I have said this other point before, but, you know, reward early on. When the customer signs up, it's essential that they can get access to those benefits very early on in the journey.
All right. So I spoke to Edith earlier on this afternoon from Boohoo. I actually asked the same question, so I'm going to put it to you guys as well. So if a brand's listening today that is looking to promote a complimentary retailer or looking to launch a reward program, what would be your one bit of advice to, I guess, getting senior stakeholder buy-in from across various elements of the business? Because I think if we're talking about a customer loyalty and retention program, that doesn't just sit within the realms of an acquisition manager and affiliate manager. It's going to play into other stakeholder teams. So long-worded around that question, but what would be that one bit of advice to overcoming that senior stakeholder sign-off?
Do you want me to say that one?
Yep, go for it, Mark.
Look at the numbers. You know, just everybody in a business is driven by numbers. So what impact does that have on revenue? I mentioned it before, from just the partnership channel, then what's the wider ancillary revenue that this type of initiative can generate? And I suppose just one other point is that what you'll inevitably see where there's a brand where there's the very fierce brand custodians is, you know, is this coalition, is this partnership going to be detrimental to my brand? I mean, if Gucci can do it with North Face, then any brand can strike up a relevant partnership, can't they? And you know, times have changed, and I think, you know, this is a train that brands really need to get on.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's all about value at the end of the day. And, you know, you can define value in two ways. A, brand value, but B, kind of performance, hardline numbers value. I think, you know, what works for us, if I was an affiliate manager trying to get my boss to sign this off, I think I'd look at it two ways. You know, point one, what's the list of brands that we can partner with? And kind of what kind of timeline can we do that in? And then for point two, you know, like, what is the money that we're going to get from this? Or what is the intrinsic value that says, like, right, hi, boss, this is what I want. This is what it's going to bring to the business in pure numbers. This is why I want to do it. I think those two things combined, you know, should really help getting signed off for brands that want to do brand partnerships.
Perfect. All right, and last question, hopefully a quite nice one, an easy one. We're not too far away from Black Friday, so I imagine at the minute all focus is very much on that. But looking beyond, I guess, Q4 and into 2023, what's next for Tavisso and Propeller? So, Adrian, if we start with you.
Yeah, sure. So we have a super secret new kind of product coming out early next year, which I can't talk about too much. But beyond that, we're kind of dusting off Duolingo, kind of brushing up on our Italian, German, Spanish and a couple of other languages ahead of kind of an international expansion in Q1. So kind of looking forward to taking what we've managed to do in the UK so far, working with partners like Awin and kind of saying, what can we do in the international market in Q1 and beyond?
Cool. Personalization is a big one for us. I mean, we track so many different touch points. And I think the key for us longer term is the ability to almost have that Netflix approach when it comes to reward programs. So, you know, driving hyper relevant rewards and offers, depending on what we know about that customer. Points-based programs has been a hugely requested feature this past 6 months for us. So we're probably going to be dipping our toe into those types of initiatives, but using brand partnerships, kind of like the Tesco model, really, to then burn some of those points on. And, you know, you mentioned international opportunities as well. Yeah, that's equally a focus for us. And there's one or two new markets that we are due to launch in with a couple of existing clients. So, yeah, it's going to be a busy Q1 and then the year beyond.
Perfect. All right, well, thank you so much for joining. Last note, I guess, is if any brand is listening today and wants to reach out to you, where can they find you? Adrian?
Propeller.
Yeah, our website, my email, our Awin account, we don't mind. It will filter to us somehow and we'll get in contact for a chat.
Carrier pigeon. Propellocloud.com. Just, you know, drop an inquiry there. And myself or one of the team would be delighted to pick that up.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you both so much for joining. Take care and we'll catch you soon.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Lee.
Some great insights there from Mark and Adrian, and great to hear the advertiser perspective earlier from Edith too. So thanks to them for all making the time to come and speak to Lee. So Lee, you asked those guys more about their own future plans in the space. What does 2023 actually hold for brand partnerships as far as Awin's concerned? Like, how are you and the team further developing the opportunity?
Be honest, I think more of the same. As we sit here and record this today, we've helped over 550 brands already partner this year. So we've facilitated 550 brand partnerships. I expect that to grow, particularly as we race towards Black Friday at lightning speed. And I think our partnership, as we've just had with Tavisso and Propeller, really kind of just changes the landscape a little bit, and we'll see more brands engaging within the brand partnership space. So I think more of the same. We also want to look at expanding brand partnerships into every Awin region. We've piloted it for the last couple of years with good success here in the UK, but now we've got brand partnerships live in the US, in DAC, in Benelux, France, Italy, Spain, Eastern Europe and the Nordics. So thinking about how we kind of roll that out across multiple markets, taking some of our learnings from the UK, taking some of the brands that we work with in the UK and expanding that out into other regions. And I think like the final one I would say is we just want to onboard lots of new, exciting partners. We've seen some really good success, particularly in the last 12 months with what I would call niche, non-traditional affiliate partners. So the likes of Wolverhampton Wanderers spring to mind. They've done some really great stuff with fan-based rewards, Pure Gym with member benefits. And then more recently, we've worked quite closely with Maneasy to power kind of rewards for their customers. So almost just bringing in these new types of, I guess, partners and looking at how they can work with some of our other brands in brand partnerships.
Do you say Maneasy? I don't think.
Yeah, fintech bank.
Sorry, yeah. Right, got it. Okay, yeah. No, it sounds like there's plenty, obviously, to look forward to in the coming 12 months.
I've got a question. Oh. You mentioned some there, but have you got like a particular favourite? Is there one that really kind of resonated or you thought was like a perfect relationship based around two brands that ordinarily would never have spoken to each other?
I think my favourite and probably one of our most successful to date is the MyProtein and Simply Cook one. MyProtein's gift with purchase reward mechanism is incredibly innovative in the way that it works. Simply Cook are a relatively small SME brand. I don't think they'd mind me for saying that, but by, I guess, leveraging the MyProtein audience, they were able to achieve ridiculous numbers. I won't say the numbers because you can go and download it from the Ultimate Guide to Brand Partnerships. But the numbers from that campaign were great. And I think it's just a really nice success story of how two brands that have got good affinity can work together, I guess, to really benefit customers.
And that partnership, that campaign is actually up for award as we speak, right?
It is. The awards are this evening, I think. So fingers crossed at the time this goes out, we might have some good news to share about that campaign.
Definitely. Well, if listeners want to reach out to you directly to ask more about the brand partnership space in general, where's the best place for them to do so?
They can find me on LinkedIn. They can email me directly, lead.metters@awin.com, or you can reach our global group with global-ext-brandpartnerships@awin.com. It's not the easiest email address to say out, so perhaps we'll make it available in the article that accompanies the recording.
I'll stick it on the landing page, yeah. Right, in other non-brand partnership related news, and speaking of awards actually, Awin picked up another one recently. This time it was at the Performance Marketing World Awards, where a campaign we coordinated in conjunction with Mediacom for Boots won. Prepped, primped and primed for peak. I mean, I do love alliteration, but that's taking it maybe a bit too far. What does primped actually mean? I know what prepped and primed mean. Kev?
I was going to say tighten yourself up, but that's what I shouldn't have said.
Well,
you know,
said
like making yourself perfect, like you do every day for me when you appear on screen, Rob.
Very true, very true. The listeners will have to take your word for that. But anyway, that was the title, and it took home the award for Best Affiliate and Partner Marketing Campaign. So we're all very chuffed with that. And speaking of peak, Awin's Peak Performance Tracker is now live on site, isn't it? Kev, can you remind listeners what this is and where they can find it?
Yep, sure. So on the last podcast, we mentioned that the performance tracker was about to go live. It is now live. The best place to find it is going to awin.com and searching for our Black Friday content, and it's featured on there. It has three tabs in it, and it has reports, granular reports from each market, each sector. You can drill down into subsectors as well. You can compare it against 2020 performance, 21, 22, and it runs across the whole of Q4, so you can look at it on a monthly basis. So, and it's a daily updating report as well. So if you bookmark it, you can find all of the you can keep going back and checking the performance as it grows, hopefully to a peak of Black Friday, which, you know, typically always does in a few weeks' time. We're seeing some early signs that sales are up, that we're having a good start to November. I might live to regret this by the time that November finishes. You know, typically, we've obviously seen peak season tracking earlier and earlier, which means that Black Friday week tends to be a little bit muted in comparison. This year's data is sort of tracking at that same trend, that we're seeing a good start to the week. Travel's having a really, really impressive bounce back after obviously a few years of struggling. It's having a really kind of impressive double digit growth across the network in November. So that's a real bright spot. Retail's generally holding up. I mean, we're seeing sales pretty flat, but you know, due to inflation, average order value and revenue is increasing, and typically obviously because commissions are tied to revenue, that obviously is having a positive impact on commissions, not as positive as if it was directly correlating, across the course of the past 2 years. We have seen revenue increase disproportionately to commissions, but that's something that we're continuing to monitor. You know, in the face of kind of everything that's happening economically, marketing budgets can be the first to be cut. So we're just sort of monitoring whether commissions are kind of being chipped away at here and there. It's obviously something that we need to keep an eye on. But yeah, so typically we are seeing, as I say, the performance is holding up. But if you're interested in benchmark, if you're a brand listening and you're interested in benchmarking yourself against your sector or other, or you have kind of programs across multiple markets and you're just wondering how the performance is doing in those markets, then do go to that performance tracker. We'll be running it to the end of the year, as I say. It's definitely worth bookmarking.
Great. Well, the next episode of the podcast will follow Black Friday and we'll be able to include a bit of analysis and insight on the trends that we do eventually see over the all-important weekend. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, that's all we've got time for on this week's episode of Awin Talks. So it's goodbye from me. It's goodbye from Kev.
Cheerio.
And it's goodbye from Lee.
Goodbye.